You are listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Melbourne, Merritt Island, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the teaching ministry of Bible teacher and translator Dr. Paul Esposito and Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. Dr. Esposito is the translator of the English Majority Text, New Testament, as well as the Apostles' Bible, a modern English translation of the Greek Septuagint, Old Testament, both available through Amazon Publishing. And now here with today's broadcast is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito, the senior pastor here of Island Community Church. Thanks for joining us here today on this Friday. Thank God it is Friday. Praise God. This is WGOD. We're tuning into God's frequency now. God is always broadcasting. Let's tune into his frequency. Let's hear 28 minutes of the Word of God. Let me decrease. Let him increase. I invite you to church this weekend. My associate pastor, Darren Solana, is bringing the word this weekend. We meet Sunday morning at 10:30. You are invited. We would love to see you. Wednesdays, we're in the book of Daniel. We just wrapped up chapter 2 the other day. We'll be in chapter 3 this coming Wednesday. But here now on the radio, we're in the book of Revelation. We're in chapter 14. This is a long sermon. This will probably play for 3 days. So let's get right into it. God bless everyone. Have an awesome weekend. We're in Revelation chapter 14. Let's tune into the Lord's frequency now. Here's some words here from him today. Okay, we're in Revelation chapter 14. Let's pray before we get started again. I can't pray too much. That's a charge I'll never hear, I guarantee you that. Pastor Paul, you're hereby charged with praying too much. And leading your church in prayer too much. And you've trusted in me too much. I'm never going to hear that. I promise you that. Lord, we exalt you in the house. How great is our God. Panta Kratos. All powerful. Powerful enough to even save a wretch like me. We praise you in the house. Your house. You said, if you love me, you keep my commands. We listen for your voice. We pray for the power to change. Open our ears to hear. We exalt you now, Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay, we're in chapter 14 of the book of Revelation. But before we go there, allow me to clarify something I said last week and I have said in the past. Now, Pastor Paul made the comment last week. I said, don't do something, or I should say, quote, don't do something just because the government tells you to do it, unquote. I went back, looked at the videotape, want to make sure what I said. Now, the Bible says in Romans chapter 13, verse 1, it says, let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. And those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. Now, allow me to clarify. Now, I ought to bring the kids in and see if they remember the memory verse that they quoted in front of this church family about a month ago. And it was, we must obey God rather than men. Everyone remember that? When the ruling government tried to silence the Apostle Peter and John, Peter said this. He said, whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God, you decide. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. That's Acts 5, 19 and 20. And this, Acts 5, 28. They said to Peter and John, did we not strictly warn you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and you intend to bring this man's blood on us. Boy, what a short memory these guys had. Just a few weeks back, would they cry out, "Oh, let his blood be on us and on our children." Short memory. You want to bring this man's blood on us. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." Acts 5, 28 and 29. And this, Matthew 22, 17. When they asked the Lord one day, they said, "What thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute, or is it lawful to pay taxes? Is it lawful to pay taxes unto Caesar or not?" But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, "Why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites?" Then he says, "Show me the tax money." And they brought to him a penny. And he said unto them, "Whose icon," remember, image, "whose icon and inscription is this?" And they said to him, "Caesar's." Then he said to them, "Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's." So allow me to clarify here what I said. We are to obey the government and their laws. But being an insurrectionist, like Barabbas was, if you read about him in Jesus' day, being an insurrectionist does not bring glory to God. No Christian should be that, an insurrectionist. Like Peter said, when the government directs you to do something, when the government directs you to do something that is contrary to the word and contrary to the commands of God, we must be like Peter was when he said, "We must obey God rather than men." That's where we stand. Amen. That's where we stand as a church. And not only that, when we do obey God rather than men, you still submit to the government. You hear this government, U.S. government? We submit to you. We submit to the government. When you obey God rather than men, you still submit to the government to pay the price for your obedience to God and not to them. You're never called to be an insurrectionist. But we obey God rather than men when the two conflict. But when you obey God, you still, as it said of the Lord Jesus, "As a lamb before its shearers was silent, so he opened not his mouth." You still submit and pay the cost, but you don't do what they say when they conflict what the word of God says. Peter and Paul said, "Honor the king," while Nero down the street was torching Christians and setting them on fire and feeding them to the lions. Now, while he was emperor, Paul told everyone here, he told all the Christians to obey the government. We need to go and do likewise. Now, let's move on here to chapter 14 in the book of Revelation. On your way there, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22 first. Hebrews 12, 22. Now, this scene that we're about to look at in Revelation 14, this scene, in my opinion, takes place in heaven, not on earth. Revelation 14 is going to take place in heaven, not on earth. Now, in the meantime, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22. The author of the book of Hebrews writes, "But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem." Now, some things here on earth are copies of an original. That's up in heaven. The temple is a copy of the original. That's why he told Bezalel and Moses and them to build. That's why he had to fill the guy with the Holy Spirit to make it and make the curtains on it. Because everything is done in accordance. It's a copy of the original. The ark is the copy of the original. Things here on earth, some things, are copies of an original. Even Jerusalem is a copy of, we read, the New Jerusalem. New Jerusalem is going to come down out of heaven. So when we read this, Mount Zion on earth, which is a reference to Jerusalem, Mount Zion is a copy of an original, which is in heaven. Now let's read this verse. So picture yourself up, not down, when we read whoever this guy was who wrote the book of Hebrews. He says, but you have come to Mount Zion. He doesn't mean the one down here. He means the one up there. You have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. You see, he's not down here. He's up there. That's what he's describing. You have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly, that's where our word church comes from, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of the blood of sprinkling that speaks of better things than that of Abel. Okay, now let's move on to Revelation chapter 14. Revelation 14, verse 1. Then I looked, and behold, a lamb standing on Mount Zion. Everyone with me now? He's not talking about King David Boulevard over there in Jerusalem. What he's writing and recording is talking about the Jerusalem that is above. That's where this scene's going to take place. So chapter 14, this brief part of it, remember, so it ends confusion. He doesn't go in order. He sees a vision all the way through, then moves on to a next vision. So he's past the end of the age already. Now he's recording what he sees in heaven, what's going to take place after that. He just sees a vision to the end, then he moves on to another vision. The book of Revelation does not go in chronological order. That'll help you understand this as you go through. He doesn't go in chronological order. We've seen the end of the world. We've seen this how many times? We see the end of the world in chapter 1, or the end of the age, chapters 1, right? He's coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced them. Chapter 1, chapter 3, chapter 7. I saw an innumerable amount of people up in heaven already. Chapter 11, at the death of the two witnesses. Chapter 12, the birth of the Messiah, Satan thrown out of heaven. Chapter 13, Antichrist, false prophet at the end of the age. We're up to chapter 14 now. So then I looked, and behold, a lamb, capital L, standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written on their foreheads. All right, so these are Jewish believers, not the church. We haven't heard anything from the church since chapter 3. He's talking about Jews. And he wants you to be so certain of this, he's told you from 12,000 from each tribe, so there'd be no mistake in it. Verse 2, and I heard a voice from heaven like the voice of many waters and like the voice of loud thunder. And I heard the sound of harpists playing their harps. They sang, as it were, a new song before the throne, before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one could learn that song except the 144,000 who were redeemed for the earth. So, no one but these Jewish men could learn this song. That's what the text says. No one could learn this song except. These are the ones, verse 4, these are the ones who were not defiled with women. They're virgins. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, being first fruits to God and the Lamb. All right, so let's just say that these people were not polluted by the world. We'll leave that at that. In their mouth was found no deceit. Isn't that funny? That's what the Lord Jesus said to Nathanael, right? He says, I saw you sitting under the fig tree. He says, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom, right, there's no guile. That's an odd reference, and now here it is again. So these 144,000 Jews are 12,000 from each tribe. You can read that in chapter 7. And there's not much else I can say to this. Now remember, there's no mention whatsoever to the church anymore, not since the end of chapter 3. These are Jews. These are not Jehovah's Witnesses, like they would tell you. It's not Arnold Murray and his lot. These are Jews. Verse 6. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those that dwell on the earth. All right, now he's seeing another vision, obviously. He's moved on to another vision. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, "Fear God and give glory to him. For the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and the springs of water." So worship him who's made heaven, earth, the oceans, and the lakes. That about covers everything. What do you think? What's left? The heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament, his hand he worked, we read. Now, we also know, as we learned, that a judgment comes at the last trumpet, remember? Now, verse 9. Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, all right, now here comes the threat. Verse 9. Look at those three words. If anyone worships, if anyone worships, here's the threat. Here's the threat at the end of the age. Now remember, Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, it says, all who dwell on the earth will worship him, the Antichrist, comma, whose names have not been written in the book of life. Now here comes the threat, those three words. If anyone worships, the beast, remember, understand the symbol. We understand the book, remember? The beast is the Antichrist. The image, we looked at last week, remember the image of the beast? Remember I told you the image was an exact copy of something else. If anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength. My Bible translation says poured out undiluted. Boy, talk about a stiff drink. To everyone who worships someone other than God. Because at the end of the age, you're going to worship someone in this world. If anyone worships the Antichrist and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand. Okay, I'm in Revelation chapter 14, verse 9, if you're just following along. If anyone worships the Antichrist and his image, and if anyone receives his, catch the personal pronouns here, his image, his mark. If anyone receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he and self shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He will be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. So, if you worship, you will drink. If you worship, you will drink. And the smoke, this is verse 11, the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night. Now, I just heard the Pope say, just Friday, he says, if you ask me, heaven, hell is an empty place. He says, I'm pretty sure. He says, I think it's a lonely place, and I don't think anyone is in it or will be in it. Now, he's actually right, because there's no one in hell right now. No one is in hell right now. Hell is a place reserved for Satan and his angels. But no one will be cast into hell until they stand before God at the end of the age and they give an account for what they've done with the man in the glory. You guys have heard the trivia question all the time I give in here. Who were the first two residents of hell in the lake of fire? The Antichrist and the false prophet. So little did he know, I guess he is right for now. But look here in this verse, look how real hell is. And look how hell is for an eternity. You don't want to test God and find out if day and night means what it says. Why would you? Why would you want to do that? All you got to do is call on the name of the Lord. That's the solution. The charge over all of you people and me is that God loves you. That's the charge over humanity. All whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. He's throwing everyone a life preserver. All you got to do, the first words out of the Gospel of Mark, you'll hear Darren preaching it in a few weeks. The first words the Lord Jesus says out of the Gospel of Mark, repent and believe the gospel. Hell was not created for you. It's created for these evil angels. And whoever's going to worship at the end of the age. Whoever is going to worship at the end of the age. All who dwell on the earth will worship the Antichrist, comma, whose names have not been written in the book of life, of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Everyone, the unbelievers, the scoffers, those scientists that don't give a rip and say religion is a crutch for weak people, haven't you ever heard them? All who dwell on the earth will worship him. Because, you see, if you're one of those people, you will be deceived and worship. Remember, he deceives those that dwell on the earth by the signs which were granted to him to do. You'll worship him because you're deceived into worshiping him if your name is not written in the book. The smoke, verse 11, the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever. This is what happens when you don't believe God at his word. You come up with your own crazy harebrained doctrine. The smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever. They have no rest day or night. No rest day or night. Who worship the Antichrist or the beast and his icon and whoever receives the mark of his name. You see, there is no turning back from this. There is no repentance for this. Like there is repentance today on the 10th of March, 2024. You can repent of anything that you have done right here at this altar, right here this morning. No matter what you've done, you can turn from it, repent of it, and be forgiven of it right here before you leave. Because of the man in the glory and what he did on the cross. His blood will even cover all of your sins. But in the tribulation, the rules change. He's telling you himself. They have no rest day or night. Whoever worships the Antichrist, whoever worships the icon, and whoever receives the mark. Verse 12. Here is the patience or endurance. Remember, Greek word is what? Hupomone, endurance. Here is the endurance of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of the Lord Jesus. Now remember, James chapter 1, verse 2. You see, this spiritual muscle is developed in you when you undergo trials in your life. It says, count it all joy when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces, it says in the New King James, produces endurance. You see, when you trust God, when you're going through an adversity in your life, when you trust God, when you say, I'm not going to cut bait and run, I'm going to trust God in the face of adversity, when you trust him like that, something happens to you in the spirit. Something happens to you on the inside that gives you the strength to withstand this kind of stuff when it comes. This is what David had. This is what you and I have. Humble yourself. Remember, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. Trust God. Trust in him. When I call out to you, Psalm 56, when I call out to you, then my enemies will scatter. This I know, because he is for me. Amen. That's what you need to know. This gets developed through trusting God when you're going through trials in your life. I can't say it enough. I can't say it enough. So, again, verse 12, he says, here is the endurance, or the patience, the hupomeno. Here is the endurance of the saints. Here are those that keep the commands of God and the faith of the Lord Jesus, the faith of Christ. You know, I got to be thinking of a piece of coal. Here's another great example of what this is. Coal by itself is just coal. But when you take a piece of coal and subject it to intense pressure, right, it becomes a diamond. It's just a piece of coal. It's good for burning without the pressure. But once the pressure comes, it produces out of that a diamond, and that's what God does with us as well. He takes the trial that's in your life, which is why the Bible tells you to rejoice when it happens to you, because God makes no mistake. He's at work. He's got a sign around your neck. Instead of men at work, it says God at work. He takes the trial when you decide you are going to trust God going through that trial. He takes that and turns you. He builds you into a spiritual giant that takes no prisoners. At the end of the age, that's going to come through loving Jesus more than you love yourself.
You've been listening to WGOD Radio, the teaching ministry of Dr. Paul Esposito from Merritt Island, Florida. To contact Pastor Paul, write to him at elected77@gmail.com. The church's website is islandcommunitychurch.net. The videos of Pastor Paul's sermons are available on our YouTube channel, Island Community Church. Be with us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.